independent in thought, and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
But the ayes are 217, the nays are 213. The bill is passed, and without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid upon the table.
What are you guys doing there? How you doing? Well, look at that here. We're on our way in the repeal and replacement of Obamacare. Does everybody feel better? I just ran outside to the mailbox to see if I got my repeal and replace prize. I did not. But it's in the mail, maybe. I don't know. So do you feel good? Are you feeling happy about it? You think the Republicans have got this thing going on the right path? Down the road to successful repeal and replace? I don't know. I do know one thing. It was an interesting day. And, it was a day of excitement for Paul Ryan. And, man, he had the crowd rocking and rolling.
Are we going to be men and women of our word?
Yeah!
Are we going to keep the promises that we made?
Yeah!
Or are we going to falter?
Well...
No.
I don't know. That's a big question. That's a big ass right there, man. Man, they were really going out. They were excited. Are we going to do this? Yes. Are we the ones? Yes. It sounded like a multi-level marketing meeting where you got everybody all pumped up, right? Like, this is great. Who's the best Amway salesman out there? You. Are you going to sell $1 billion worth of product? Yes. Are you going to build your downline? Yes. Maybe that's the way we do it. Maybe that's the best way to do healthcare. I've solved the problem. Let's do multi-level marketing healthcare. Right? And everybody, instead of a pink Cadillac, what is that? You get that from Mary Kay? Right? Instead of the pink Cadillac, we'll give you like a red caddy or something, and it'll have the cross on it for like the healthcare thing. How about that, huh? How about them apples?
I want to thank all the other members who contributed to making this the best bill possible. It really was a collaborative, consensus-driven effort.
Interesting. So we'll see. But before you get excited, before you decide, whoo, it's done, it's not. Not even close. Not even, we're not even at halftime, right? If we're playing hockey, we just went into the first period intermission. There's still two periods to play. We got a long way to go is what I'm trying to tell you, kids. Long way to go. It's got to go to the Senate now, right? Down there, what's going to happen? There's a lot more moderates down there. Not everybody's thrilled by this. Corker today, I was watching him. I think he was on MSNBC and the newly engaged Joe Scarborough, Mika Brzezinski show. Did you see that, Producer Phil? They got engaged?
Weird I did that. See that. I'm not surprised, but I saw it.
Yeah. So, but and he said he started laughing. He said, "Look, you know what? This what you see is not what you're going to get, and that's the truth. What you see is not what you're going to get. You're going to get something that is going to somewhat resemble a bit of Obamacare and maybe a little bit of this, but it is not going to be this amazing, great thing." All right. That's the one thing that I think we have to realize. And I don't care. You could be out there say, Chad, how can you say that? Because I'm realistic about this. Government has got into our lives and they've got into our healthcare and they're here and they're in front of us and they're a pain in our ass. All right. Let's be honest. They've come into this and they have taken what is 20%, 1/6 of our economy, less than 20%, but 1/6 of our economy. And at the rate it's growing, God only knows what it could be. Could be a third of the economy if they give a chance to continue to jack up prices and do stuff. But they've come in and they've taken 1/6 of our economy and they've put their tentacles in it and unwinding it along the way. People say, well, it can be unwound. It can't be because along the way, they're going to be breaking stuff on the way back. So sure, they may get out of it, but along the way, they break it to the point where it's unrecognizable and unusable. So this is what we have right now. This is what we have to deal with. The number one most important thing, people want premiums to come down.
Premiums will be coming down. Yes, deductibles will be coming down. But very importantly, it's a great plan.
I don't know if it's a great plan. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know. Based on it, I mean, there's some stuff in there that looks good. But It's a plan that starts out now, but it doesn't look anything like what it's going to be. So this, you may think this is the best plan in the world, but when the Senate's through with it, it's going to look like something different. Do you know what that plan's going to look like? No, I don't. Well, then how do you know it's the best plan in the world? You don't. Premiums down, that's what people want. It shouldn't be this hard. Give us choice by allowing us to purchase, all right, cross state lines, therefore opening up choice. Secondly, give us an a la carte menu, meaning you're a 23-year-old man. You do not need maternity. You don't need a pap smear, right? You don't need those kind of things. 65-year-old man doesn't need those things. Doesn't need a mammogram. Doesn't need, allow them to a la carte it. Allow me to a la carte what I want. Bring cash back into it. Giving opportunities for doctors to, yes, guess what? Get the regulations out of the way so they can start doing more and more things. People don't realize the regulations in a lot of these doctors' way for them to set up certain things and to do certain things. It's ridiculous. Allow us to be back to that cash kind of society and let us purchase true catastrophic health care. Doesn't matter what it is, right? Hell, maybe you got to have, maybe it's an a la carte thing like, hey, you know what? I'm going to purchase healthcare, but it's going to be a cancer-based only healthcare. Catastrophic. All right? Or an accident cancer one. But I don't think I'm going to get diabetes, so I don't need to worry. So if you screw up, that's on your own. But give us these options to do that. And then one of the biggest one is allow us to pool together, especially individual people, in a groups so we can eliminate a good portion of the risk, therefore transferring the risk to one another, therefore driving the cost down. Putting it in our courts, our life, let us control it. Or if you're not going to do any of that stuff, I'm going to be honest with you here, then just do a single payer and get out of our way because I'm over it. I really am. If that's your design, then can we stop playing these games and stop screwing with us? I'm sick of the, it's like a relationship. It's a push-pull, push-pull, push-pull. I've lived in single-payer healthcare systems. I thought it sucked. But looking at what they're doing now by breaking everything inch by inch by inch by inch, it's death by a thousand paper cuts, and I'm sick and tired of it. I really am. You don't think we're adult enough to handle our own medical, so you got involved. Tell everybody, we've insured X amount more millions of people, only to find out it's gone from, what, 14.6% to 10.9%? It's not like the drop was so massive that we're like, oh, my God. But you're in our lives now. So do one or the other, right? Fish or cut bait, but I'm sick and tired of it. We're all sick and tired of it. You can be excited, and it's great, but let me ask you this, people who are a huge fan of the repeal and replace. What if it's worse? What if your premiums don't go down? What if you lose your doctor that you finally got and you finally liked because you lost your other doctor? What if it goes to hell in a handbasket and it's more expensive for you and your deductibles barely come down, if at all? Your copays go up. What if? Is it a fair question to ask? I'm just fed up with the whole thing. I really am. I've never, it is the blind leading the blind. Because how do these people take something that should be somewhat of a common sense approach and screw it up because they've written so many laws and done so many things and passed so many regulations that cutting through this red tape it is going to take forever to do. What do you think of them apples? 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at chatbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Your mom, Mother's Day is coming up. Man, is it next weekend? Woo! What'd you get your mom? What'd you get your wife? The woman who gave you kids? Those little things running around, those mini yous running around the house? Your mother who for years did everything she could to make sure you got back and forth to practice and scraped and script and helped you with homework and did everything she could to give you a loving, caring home. What are you going to do for them? You don't know? Well, you do now. With Mother's Day right around the corner, Sherry's Berry is offering huge freshly dipped strawberries starting at $19.99 plus shipping. And right now, there's an exclusive offer I have for you. When you double the berries for just 10 bucks more, you're going to get free cake truffles too. Boom! That's like a whole free gift right there. That is a whole lot of free. You pick your delivery date. Sherry's Berries guarantees your gift will arrive fresh and delicious or your money back. I had some last week. They were amazing. They sent us some, and it was just incredible. The strawberries were so, it was like the size of my fist. It was massive. And there was, they were dipped in white chocolate, dark chocolate, milk chocolate. There was nuts and swirls all over. Oh, my God, it was incredible. Sherry's Berries is the best unexpected gift that will put a smile on your mom's face, your grandma's face, your wife's face, your girlfriend's face. Your that neighbor who treated you like what? Like she was your mom, treated you like you were her son? Yeah, that person, that wonderful woman. The only way to get these amazing berries, the only way to get this deal, starting at just $19.99, is to visit berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right-hand corner and use my code Benson. That's Berries, B-E-R-R-I-E-S.com, and code Benson when you click on the mic. The amazing deal won't last long. Mother's Day is right around the corner. Do the smart thing. Go to Berries.com, use code Benson, and get her some Sherry's Berries today. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, chat at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423. Have a great interview at the bottom of the hour with a woman who had an addiction. There's something you would think, you can be addicted to that? No, it's not sex. Exercise. Wait till you hear her story. It's amazing the amount of exercise this woman did and how it really devastated her life. Straight ahead, we got what's next. What's next for the cable companies? It was rough this first quarter, and it's going to get rougher. Chad Benson Show.
It's not that he's particularly intuitive or even psychic. He's just weird this way. It's What's Next with Chad Benson.
What's next? Look, if you're a cable company and or pay prescription, subscription-based entertainment company, whether it's, you know, Dish or any of these other companies that are out there, Time Warner, what are they called now? Charter. I don't even know. They all have 12 different names. Cablevision. You know, DirecTV, AT&T, you have to be worried. You had the worst quarter in your history. Where do you hear these numbers? People are cutting the cords left, right, and center because of the massive amounts. And by the way, you can look at this here, Congress, Senate. You guys can take a look at this here, government. People are finding alternative ways to get what they want and how they want it. That's how they want their health care. Now that's how they want their entertainment. Learn from this. This was crazy. Charter lost almost 100,000 in the first quarter. Cablevision down about 50. Other cable networks across the nation as a group down about 100,000. Dish Network lost 762,000. AT&T lost almost 250,000. Verizon was down about 25,000. Historically, one of the stronger quarters when it comes to pay TV. Why? People are cutting the cords. The expense is ridiculous. They don't want it. That's why you get those great bundle deals. Producer Phil and I talked about it. You want just the internet? It's 120 bucks a month. But if you want everything, we can give it to you for 65 bucks a month. Right? because they're looking for a way to save themselves. And the more and more that we have innovation, and more we have independent companies that are coming out there and being able to deliver internet to you, the better it's going to be. What's next for the cable companies? An a la carte way to deliver things. They're going to have to figure out a way. And if I'm the Dish Network company, right? If I'm some of these companies, I'm figuring out, how do I partner with some of these people? How do I partner with them? If I'm Verizon, if I'm any of these ones who deliver across the board internet, and I know that they're cutting us, I still want a piece of that. How do I do it? Because what's next for them is, we're going to go more and more pay to the likes of Netflix for $9.99 and $29 for internet if you can find it, then pay $125 for everything else and still pay for your Netflix and your Hulu and your Amazon Prime when you get basically the same thing. What's next for these companies is a long year and a way to find out how they adapt in this situation or pay for it heavily. Because I don't think this is going to be going any other way except people dumping it. And most people I know that have subscription-based television anymore do it for one or two shows or situations they can't get, whether it's football or something like that. And this year, kids, Amazon Prime got football. It's not a lot of games, but Thursday nights, people have Amazon Prime. You're going to have a chance to watch football. Tell me you're not going to love that. Oh, yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. And this is why ESPN laid off a bunch of people last week, because they're losing their subscription base, and cable and Dish and all of these companies are going to struggle unless they figure out a way to adapt it and make it cheaper. This is what competition brings you. That's what's next for the cable companies. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. Catherine Shriver is going to join us next. She had an addiction. Not your normal addiction. An addiction that really was odd. One that most people say, I'd love to have that. Actually, you wouldn't love to have it. She's going to tell us about her addiction to exercise. Straight ahead, Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
You know, we can find addictions anywhere. Everything should be about moderation, but that's not always true. Sometimes even in things that we think, well, I'd like to be addicted to that, we can become addicted to. Catherine Shriver joins us. She's the co-author of The Truth About Exercise Addiction, Understanding the Dark Side of Thinspiration. Catherine, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, man, you would think of all the things in the world to be addicted to, exercise would be the best thing in the world to be addicted to. But like everything else, it's about moderation, and it can cause your life hell.
It can, exactly. And so many people think, exercise addiction is the best addiction to have. And it's important to keep in mind that anything that gets to the level of an addiction is not something you want to have.
So, you know, when did you first notice that, you know what, like, because I was reading some of this stuff, and it's obviously there's usually it accompanies something, because like all addictions, there's an underlying feeling. When did you start to think to yourself, okay, maybe I got myself a little problem here?
Yeah, so I always had body image issues dating back to elementary and middle school. And I think I started noticing that exercise was a problem. I believe the body image issues were fueling that, in addition to some other things that, you know, were going on at home for me. My parents got divorced. I was pretty severely bullied. I grew up, in New York, and I didn't witness, but I was very close to 9/11. I think that I started using exercise as a way to tamp down all these awful feelings, and it kind of came to my attention as an issue pretty much in high school, throughout college, and it really, really, the tipping point was, I would say, over the past few years, starting in 2015, I really sat down, and honestly, it was after my book came out. I thought I was doing better, but I really, one day, just realized with myself and my partner, you know, I'm miserable. And I am miserable because of what I'm doing to myself and the schedule I'm keeping myself on of exercise and this unforgiving attitude, this relentless pressure I put on myself to go to the gym multiple times a day. Physiologically, I was not doing well. My body wasn't functioning as it should. I was incurring multiple injuries. And I had to make some changes. I was so miserable. It really got to a point where I just thought, I'm not living a life worth living. And I know it's because of my exercise schedule, as crazy as that sounds.
You talk about your exercise schedule, Catherine, and we're talking to Catherine Schreiber, The Truth About Exercise Addiction, Understanding the Dark Side of Thinspiration. You talk about your exercise. Yeah, how many hours a day were you working out?
I was exercising sometimes up to 5 or 6 hours a day, you know, because I'd get up, do it before the gym, before I would go to the gym before work for a couple hours. I'd go on my lunch break. I would go after, I would sometimes do yoga before I left to go to the gym in the morning. So it got up to 5 or 6 hours a day.
Which is, I mean, that is crazy. I mean, like, if we do 5 hours a week, people are like, man, you do 5 hours a week? That's amazing. Because most Americans, they don't work out 5 minutes a week. And you're doing 5 hours a day, and you're not a pro athlete. That is, you know, people would look at that and say, wow. So was it a societal thing as far as, like, did you feel pressure from you know, other kids or society in itself to look beautiful, to be all of these kind of things?
That's such a good question. I mean, I really think that our societal and cultural standards of beauty do fuel an unhealthy relationship with the exercises and with exercise as well as with food. I think that did play in. You know, it's interesting, though, because I never directly was told by anybody in my life, oh, you should be exercising more. You're not exercising enough. I think my biggest issue was when I was at my worst, when I was severely underweight, when my body was just falling apart, essentially. People were not telling me, hey, are you okay? Like, you might consider that you have a problem. People were saying, God, you look amazing. I wish I could be like you. And I think that that contributed to my not getting help for so long and to staying in this endless cycle of constant exercise and constant activity, because I, you know, it was positively reinforced when I was at my worst, which doesn't happen with most other addictions. When someone's at their worst, you know, extent of alcoholism, nobody's saying, hey, I wish I could down 2 six-packs like you. You know, nobody says that. But with exercise addiction, it's kind of the opposite. The more you do, no matter how much pain you're in emotionally and physically, it's like everybody was congratulating me left and right.
You know, you talk about the on top of exercising, the eating, and you're exercising so much, but at the same time, because you're into health, you want to eat right. I mean, there's got to be that you know, that real struggle there, because you got to get enough calories to be able to continue to do exercise, or it's going to go south.
Right. And nutrition is a major problem for people who overexercise. Sometimes people are overexercising as part of an eating disorder, so they're doing it to eliminate calories. It's kind of an alternate form of purging, whereby people make themselves throw up after they eat. Instead, people may binge eat or just restrict their food altogether and then go to the gym for hours on end with the sole purpose of getting thinner and burning calories. I will say that nutrition was a huge problem for me. I had no idea how much I should have been eating. I had such a skewed perspective on how much I should eat. And that, again, goes back to the messages we get from society about how much as women we should eat. And I was certainly under eating as well as over exercising.
Talking to Catherine Shriver, co-author of The Truth About Exercise Addiction, Understanding the Dark Side of Thinspiration. So here's the thing, though, for all of that stuff that, you know, the bad side of the addiction side, obviously you smoke crack and you're addicted to drugs. You want to get off that and never go back to it. But we also live in a world where you want to be healthy and exercise is something that's good. How do you walk that fine line? Because you still want to be able to exercise, and you're not going to find most doctors going, you know what, you just keep with your addiction, but let's just make it moderation. How do you find that fine line of still being able to work out and eat healthy, knowing full well that you've had an addiction to this?
Right. I mean, that's such a struggle for people who grapple with exercise addiction. Because yeah, you're right. Like other addictions, you don't want to stop exercising. And the goal of any treatment related to exercise addiction is not to stop exercising altogether. You do have to reprogram your relationship with exercise. You have to learn to cut back. You have to deal with the difficult emotions that arise when you scale back your workouts to an hour versus 2 hours. You really have to challenge yourself to, you have to educate yourself about the nutrition you need to maintain that level of physical activity. And I think it also requires an education about how the body works and that you need off days, you need rest days in order to be healthy. I think for me personally, it's been quite a challenge. I still like to go to the gym every day. You know, I don't go hard and heavy every day, and I certainly don't go for 2+ hours a day. I keep it to about an hour and a half, and often those workouts are moderate. Sometimes they just involve a lot of walking or yoga. You know, so it's something that I always have to keep in check because it's very easy for me to slip back into that. Well, I did this amount of time yesterday. I should do that amount of time and more today. But it really, it's kind of a holistic approach. You have to really check in with your body, listen to signs of fatigue, and learn that it's not the end of the world if you have to scale back your exercise. Something that's been very, very helpful for me is getting involved in other activities that encourage my sense of value and my self-esteem. It might sound cliche, but I've been volunteering a lot, and that has made a world of difference just in the sense that I feel like I derive a sense of self-esteem and purpose from something outside the gym. And, you know, in addition to I go to therapy, I have seen a nutritionist. I definitely feel like I'm in a much better place now. But again, it's definitely something that I always have to keep in mind because that's my vice.
How do you treat something like this? You know, you talk about it, again, it could become an addiction. And while they've not classified mental health disorder yet with an addiction as far as exercise go, how do you treat something like this when you know you've got a problem and you know you're working out? I mean, you had stress fractures. You didn't have a period for 2 years. I mean, you went through stuff that you know, I mean, that's insane. And yet, you know, you've got a problem. I mean, when you go to a psychologist or psychiatrist and you go to sit down and you talk to people, how do you, you know, treat something like this when they may not even have any understanding of it?
Right. So, exercise addiction is such a new concept. I mean, it's been around for a few decades, but there isn't that much research into it, and there's such scant research into treatments for it because it's such an unusual disorder. And it's, again, it's something most of us Americans need to do more of. So, I mean, for starters, there's different types of therapies that have been found to be helpful. Cognitive behavioral therapy helps to restructure faulty beliefs surrounding exercise and the body, and that can help to change behaviors. In general, most types of therapy can help you deal with the underlying emotional issues that are driving your excessive behavior. There's also some research into what's called exercise reprogramming, and this has been done in eating disorder facilities when people who are admitted for eating disorders also have signs of excessive exercise. Basically, a trainer who is, you know, educated in either, you know, mental health, social work, some kind of therapy modality, will work with patients to check in with them before, during, and after their workouts about how they're feeling, what exercises may be triggering. They'll kind of work with them to show them a healthier way and a more moderate way to exercise, such that they physically and emotionally experience what it's like to exercise in a healthy manner. And it's, you know, over time that becomes more second nature. It's no easy task. A lot of overcoming the issue is, in a sense, exposure therapy. You have to expose yourself to those difficult feelings that arise when you don't do exercise in excess. And you have to learn to sit with them and accept them and know that, you know, to trust that you're doing the right thing for your body by not pushing it too far and stopping when you feel pain or slowing down if you have to.
And there's Catherine Shrivers, co-author of The Truth About Exercise Addiction, Understanding the Dark Side of Thinspiration. We appreciate you coming on today. I think the whole thing is just very interesting, and I work out 4 or 5 days a week, and some days I feel like, man, I should have gone to the gym today, and I realized, you know, I used to be a pro athlete. You do have to give your body a rest, but it's a very interesting story, and I will say I go to the gym, and I see people there, and I think to myself, man, I think you're here just a little bit too much. You're working out just a little too hard, and I'm sure we're going to hear more about this in the future. Catherine, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
The Chad Benson Show, Facebook at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Producer Phil, we could have one of these. It'd be called The Truth About Exercising-ish, Addiction to Great Snacks, and Understanding the Moderately Dark Side of Being Slothy. It's the name of our book.
I can write that in a day.
You call it ridiculous. We call it reality with a twist. Say what?
That's me, kids. Say what? Hope you're doing well on this beautiful day. Very few places that I want to go in this world and see. I've been fortunate enough. I've traveled the world, and I'll do more traveling. But one of the places I want to go is to Indonesia, to the Komodo Islands. I'm a huge reptile person as a kid and as a young adult and as a young man. And as a man, I have owned many different kinds of reptiles, some of them rather exotic and rather large. And lizards have always been my favorite. And the lizard, the king of all lizards, is a Komodo dragon. But you have to beware because they are not the friendliest things in the world. And they are big enough at 10 feet and about 300 pounds to eat you. And oh, by the way, for years they thought it was bacteria in their mouth from all the rotten flesh that's in there that caused people and animals to get sick and die. But now they believe that there is a venom that two or three of the varanus or these kind of creatures have. Well, a man found out the hard way on vacation. Say what? When he didn't listen to everybody saying stay away from the giant lizards when you're taking pictures that close because they bite, and lo and behold, they bit his dumb ass. I never feel bad when this happens. And producer Phil, remind me again what nature will do to you. I'm just curious.
Nature will mess you up.
Mess you up is what they will do. He's expected to make a full recovery, the 50-year-old man, but he will not be doing that again. But, man, that is a bar story. Speaking of animals, man killed his female neighbor because she taught his parrot how to insult him. Ignacio Friles, 46, from Capitara, Sardinia, allegedly stabbed the neighbor Maria Bonara Cantu, 60, as she walked with friends. It claimed he stabbed her 11 times and wounded her friend and others who tried to defend her. And the reason was because, yes, the parrot. The parrot apparently insulted him on numerous occasions. Says listening to the parrot all day, it became obsessed for him. And next thing you know, they say maybe he's got some problems. The parrot talking to him, you're getting what goes on here. Yes, the parrot caused the murder of this woman is what he's trying to claim because of the insult. They're thinking maybe there's something else here. But this is what happens when you teach your parrot bad manners. Don't do that. It mimics you and it talks. All right? That is kind of funny, though, right? That is hilarious. Ah, you're an idiot. What? You're a fool. What?
You're an idiot.
Chad, you're a jerk. California is up to its old tricks again with its progressive weirdness that it likes to do. Apparently, having two options for male or female is not enough. They're now going to add a third by the looks of it. Non-binary. Don't know. But non-binary is where they're headed, kids. That's right, kids. This is what California does. It's in a huge financial crisis when it comes to unfunded liabilities. This should be a warning to all of you out there, just out there in the rest of the states. Take a look at what California does because it's crazy. But non-binary is where we are going now. That is, I am non-binary. No, I'm a male. But if you want to be non-binary, knock yourself. I don't care if you put down your Batman. I really don't. hey, my car, Betsy, I love her. I take care of her. I baby her as best that I possibly can, but I'm not really a mechanic. But I sleep well at night knowing, A, I don't have a payment, and B, should something happen to Betsy, God forbid it doesn't, she's going to be taken care of because I got extended coverage from carshield.com. New engine, new transmission, they cost thousands of dollars, upwards of $5,000. Even a simple repair, like a sensor, that could cost you $1,000. This is what CarShield does for you. If your car breaks down, you get VIP service like no other. Betsy takes care of me best she can, but let's just say she poops out. Guess what? 24/7 roadside assistance. They're going to come on out there. They're going to pick her up, and they're going to take her to the mechanic I choose. I choose this mechanic. They're going to pay the mechanic directly. In between reuniting Betsy and I, they're going to make sure I have a car to get to and fro. That right there is being taken care of. That is the CarShield way. CarShield administrators have paid out close to $2 billion, and they're ready to help you save thousands in potential car repairs. Get covered by the ultimate and extended service protection before it's too late. Call 800-856-1441 and mention code Benson or visit carshield.com. Use code Benson to save 10%. That's carshield.com, code Benson. A deductible may apply in some plans. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter. CHADBENSON, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the program, 323-538-2423. You can always email the program as well, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com, which is where you grab your podcast. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.